And here's our guest, Todd Myers, Washington Policy Center Environmental Director. Good morning. How are you, Todd?
I'm doing great this morning.
Good. I've got 14 topics to go over with you today. Are you ready?
Only 14?
Yeah, we're going to try and tighten our belt here a little bit. We have to start with what I told listeners you and I would be discussing, which is, can we get an accurate idea of just how much money the Climate Commitment Act is costing Washington families?
So, yes, we did a calculation on that because a couple of things. One, some people are getting these rebate checks from their utility of $200, which the governor and other folks hope will convince voters to keep the CO2 tax in place when they vote in 2117, which would repeal the CO2 tax this fall. So they're handing out these checks. They required those checks to go out by September 15th. It's interesting timing. These are one-time checks that just happen to appear in an election year. They're not before or after. Next year, we don't get these checks. And the rule also requires that any utility, when they send out these checks, must include the state-funded logo of the Climate Commitment Act on the letter. So those checks were going out, and there were some stories about how great it is. So I decided to say, okay, is this actually paying for what, you know, the costs are? Are people,
right,
you know, are people actually benefiting from this?
By the way, who's getting these checks again, Todd?
It's about 10% of utility customers based on income. So it's targeted toward lower income folks.
Okay.
So we looked at the costs, and we looked at just two things based on gasoline, the increase in cost of gasoline, and then also natural gas. There are some costs in electricity. They are smaller. There are some other incidental costs, inflationary costs on the increase of cost, everything else because of transportation costs. Those are very hard to calculate. So we just stuck with direct gas and natural gas. All right, with that long prelude, what we found is that for an average family of two cars driving an average amount with, you know, a good fuel mileage, in 2023, it cost them about $631 extra dollars for the year. A low-income family.
Wait, just to drive? Just in gasoline prices or in overall energy prices, Todd?
Gasoline and home heating for natural gas.
Okay.
And that's two cars. So let's say you only have one car. Let's say you're lower income and you only have one car. And your natural gas home heating is less, either because you have an apartment or a smaller house or something like that. Even those folks paid more than $300 in taxes, extra taxes because of the CO2 tax. So even if you received a $200 rebate on your utilities, you still paid far more than you get back. It's basically bribing people with their own money.
And don't you have to vote? Doesn't the initiative that strikes down the Climate Commitment Act, doesn't it have to fail?
So at one point they thought about giving people rebates next year, contingent
right.
on the money flowing in.
Okay.
That was turned down. What they did now is they said all the checks have to go out by September 15th. So even if you got a check, you can still vote and the way you want and reduce your taxes in the future.
So in one way, this kind of reminds me of what Richard Nixon pulled in 1972, sent out notices that Social Security benefits were going to be increased, and they went out in mid-September of 1972 when he was running for re-election. The difference there, of course, is that they're going to get an increase in benefits for a program they pay into. Here, they are getting essentially a bribe to vote no on Initiative 2117 because you get this low-income one time only break. And it has to go out with the logo of the Climate Commitment Act, right?
Yeah, the letters to that, and a lot of people who are not eligible for the rebate also got letters, also with that logo, so advertising it. But again, I mean, the evidence, I mean, it's very clear that this is an election year effort because these rebates were not included in the original piece of legislation that was passed in 2021, and they don't exist next year. Governor Inslee has repeatedly opposed rebates. So there have been proposals in the past offset, to do carbon taxes where you would reduce taxes elsewhere. He has consistently opposed that. So, you know, he has opposed these kinds of rebates every year, except the year when his CO2 tax is on the ballot.
So let me see if I got this right. The same governor who said, and we've played it on tape dozens of times, Todd, that the Climate Commitment Act would raise the price of gas pennies, mere pennies. In fact, the price might go down. That is a quote, by the way.
Yeah.
Is now saying, after gasoline went up, is it 43 cents a gallon?
Last year that was true. It's lower now, but yes, last year that was true.
There's absolutely no assurance whatsoever that striking down this tax that raised the price of gasoline so much would have any impact on the price of gas going the other way.
And that's their newest argument, which is that if you remove, and the CO2 tax is the largest tax, energy tax in state history. And so they, you know, they're now claiming if you eliminate the largest energy tax in state history, there's no guarantee the prices would go down.
Of energy goes down.
Yeah.
Why does anyone listen to these people?
Well, and in fact, we have more evidence that they know that this is a lie. So previously I found quotes from 2014 when the governor proposed a very similar system. And they were very open and admitted before the legislature that it would increase taxes or increase gas prices by 40 cents a gallon. And then in 2018, the governor also offered a flat carbon tax, which is a slightly different system, but basically has the same results. And his policy advisors said that the prices would be passed along to consumers. And this is the quote, "While the tax would be paid by power plants and fuel importers, Inslee's staff predicted some of the costs would pass on to consumers and result in a hike in the price of electricity, natural gas, and gasoline." So they know. That was in 2018 that they said that, just 3 years before the latest CO2 tax passed. They have known this, that this would increase prices. They just decided that, being dishonest, because people don't like new taxes, they decided that the only way to get this is to be dishonest. And this claim that if you repeal the tax, it won't cut energy costs is just part of that pattern.
Yes. By the way, someone who did call it right and accurately was a policy analyst for the Washington Policy Center named Todd Myers.
It's, you know, the thing is that it's not complicated. This system is in California. The system has been used other places. All we have to do is to look at the history of what happened. There is a direct amount of CO2 that is emitted every gallon of gas. It's not difficult math. We have a history. We know we can look at it. And that's all I did. I'm not a genius. I just applied that math. But, you know, there are so many political incentives to be dishonest that overwhelmed. And I think some in the media got bullied into believing that. But now we're seeing the results.
Well, no, you know, number one, you're an independent thinker, and too many people in the media were what I call herd thinkers, as in H-E-R-D. They were following the herd instead of doing some independent thinking on their own. And the other is, quite bluntly, you were honest, and the Inslee people were not. You know, it's not that they're dumb. And that you're smart. This isn't a matter of IQ. This is a matter of who's going to tell the truth when the data clearly show that there's an increase, and you told the truth. By the way, I heard that reporters were urged not to talk to you. Can you tell me the inside skinny on this?
So I have been critical of the huge amount of money that we subsidize solar panels with in Washington State. And just for, you know, disclosure, I'm arguing against my own interest because the house that we purchased a few years ago has solar panels. And so I get solar energy, and by state law, we sell it back to Puget Sound Energy. So, but I have argued repeatedly that that should not be the case because, one, solar panels are typically owned by people who are more wealthy. And second, you know, Washington State, in particular, Western Washington, is one of the worst places in the country for solar energy. So I've argued against this. Well, not surprisingly, that has earned me a bad reputation with the solar industry in Washington State. And so in Tumwater, they were installing a solar powered car charger. And I was asked about it by a reporter. And I explained why the math didn't work and why this was a huge waste of money. It's $100,000 to install this car charger that produces very little energy. And so the reporter, like a good reporter, reached out to the city of Tumwater and said, what do you think about these concerns? The city of Tumwater then turned around and reached out to the Solar Industry Energy of Washington. And they sent an email to the reporter saying, I will talk to you, but tell you, do not print anything with the Washington Policy Center, and do not, and I would discourage you from being associated with them in any way at all. They have lots of red flags with the industry. Well, I'm sure I do have lots of red flags with the industry because, you know, I disagree with the state and taxpayers wasting money to line their pockets for a technology that doesn't work very well to reduce CO2 emissions or to provide energy. There are lots of other things we can do that are better for the environment, that produce more energy and reduce more CO2 emissions. So it was very funny. The other thing that they said was, you know, if you want to talk about what a great job government is doing, then, and the quote was, let's party. Well, of course, I'm sure that they want to be the PR firm for governments who are lining their pockets. But yes, that was, you know, it's not, I'm used to this. I get lots of what I call love letters from people who either have financial or emotional benefits from appearing to do things for the environment, even if those things don't actually help.
And again, this was a lobbyist for the solar industry, you say?
Yeah, a board member of the Washington Solar and Energy Industry Association.
Wow. What, again, just an eye-opener about how easily bought off these people are if they're making money. Don't talk to anyone who's going to confuse you with facts when we're, you know, giving you the party line over here.
Well, I would just tell you there's a punchline to the story, which is that I have been trying to find out. You know, I've said, you know, solar is not very good in Western Washington, but I have been trying to find out from Tumwater and from other places where these same chargers have been installed, how much energy they actually produce. And so far, no city that has installed these has been able to tell me how much energy these things actually produce, which just, I mean, like, we're spending $100,000 on these things. And this one is at a park, right? It's not critical infrastructure. It's a luxury for people who can afford expensive cars. And yet when I say, all right, show me the results, show me the benefits of this, nobody can do that. So it's just, it's really a perfect example of how badly our climate and environmental policy is at actually showing that they're doing good things for the environment.
Todd Myers, Washington Policy Center. Read his stuff, great stuff, at washingtonpolicy.org. That's washingtonpolicy.org. Read his blog there. It's great stuff. Todd, thanks again very much for appearing on the show after a particularly brutal Seattle Mariner game. We hope things get better there.
I'm certain they will. Thanks. Todd, nice to chat with you.
Todd used to work for the Mariners franchise, folks. Anyway, good hearing your voice, Todd. Appreciate it. We'll be talking again soon.